Let me get comfortable first, and then we'll put the microphone around it. Okay. You guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. A good chaydesh, everybody. Good chaydesh. Thank you so much for having me. My pleasure. Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. You know, first impressions are important. It's bechin of girsa diankisa. My first impression to YU was a Fabreng, you know, so that's pretty good. I've been here, it was Bacher years ago to like the Svarim sale or something, but like really, this is my first time here, so. This is my Girsa Diankisa, Fabreng. That's how I'm going to think of you guys for the rest of my life, just Fabrengers, you know? Baruch Hashem. Fabreng for a long time. So, Rishus the Rabbanim, I'll tell you the truth, I want to hear Torah. I'm sick of my own voice, but I figured if Avrengen is only called for 10:30, so Mustama, like, the clock doesn't mean that much, you know, so I won't overdo it, but when we talk about a Avrengen for Rish Chodesh Adar, it can't just be about Rish Chodesh Adar. Chazal say that when there's a leap year, so the halach is that Purim is kept an Adar Sheni, because we want to be masmich gula l'gula. We want to connect the gula of Purim to the gula of Pesach. You know, Mishnech Nasadah's Marv Mesimcha doesn't end by the end of Adar, it continues on to Nisan. B'chlal, this entire tekufa that we're entering into, the month of Adar, through Nisan, is a time of gula. It's a time of gula. And so you know there's a Or Tzaddik writes in a few places that it was revealed to him, it was known to him, that you know throughout the history of Golos, Rosh Chodesh was not necessarily considered to be a big yontif. You say Hal, Chatzi Hal, it's not Tachanun, whatever, there's Minhagim, some women don't do Malacha, but it wasn't such a big deal. Or Tzaddik writes that before Mashiach comes, it's a different Nevuah. He says that before Mashiach comes, you're going to see that Rosh Chodesh is going to become more of an Indian. People are going to become coming together for Sudas, for Farbrang, it's going to be more of a Zach. So, no, it's a chashuvah thing. Not only are we coming together in Rosh Chodesh, which is a gula de Kedinyan, but we're coming together for a month, that's a month of gula, masmech gula gula. So we have to speak for a few minutes about gula, about redemption. What does redemption mean? What does gula mean? What's the difference between gulas and gula, and how do we bring it down a little bit more? So it's like this. It's a principle we have from the Sefer Yetzirah. It says in Sefer Yetzirah that every single month of the year is connected to a particular letter of the Aleph Beis. And if a person wants to know what's the Avayda of that particular month, it's going to be connected to that letter of the Aleph Beis. So the month of Adar, which as I said is Adar, but also is the entrance into the months of Geula. So the letter of Adar, says the Sefer Yetzirah, is a letter Kuf. It's a letter Kuf. Himlech Ois Kuf. The letter of Kuf is ruling over the month of Adar. So the Avayda, the Pnimi, is everything that's about Adar and its Purim is going to be related to the letter Kuf. Now it's interesting. You know, every letter has a shape to it. There's a certain tzur of what a letter is. And most letters of the Aleph Beis can be seen as really a combination of many letters, of multiple letters. The letter Kuf is no different. The letter Kuf in Sefer Torah is obviously of two parts, as we know, right? There's the Resh. It's a Resh and a Zayin, if you think about it. That's really what it is. It's a Resh and a Zayin. Imagine to yourself, it's a Resh and a Zayin. So the inyan of a Kuf is going to be connected to those two letters in particular. That's the Soyd. When you pull apart a Kuf and you really unpackage it, what emerges is the letter Resh on top and the Kuf. And the leg of the Kuf is a Zayin extending down. It's unique. The letter Kuf is unique. It's the only letter that are not end of letters. It's the only letter that goes beneath that imaginary line that you can't cross, but a kuf goes under, but yet a part of it remains hovering above. It's a secret of the letter kuf, resh zayin. There's a number of interesting gematrias that we find with that combination of letters, resh and zayin, which is the letter kuf. First of all, the word resh zayin comes together to form the word ruz, which means a secret. Now, there's no yontif throughout the Jewish year that's more secretive. That's more mysterious than Purim. The whole ending of Purim is this site. So it's a Ruz. The word Ruz, Resh Zayin, also equals a number of gematrias, which we have to explain. It equals a gematria, the word R, light. It's a famous pasuk when it comes to Purim, Le'yudim Maisa Oira. It's the first thing the pasuk describes, Mikhail says it describes the Gilui of Purim to the Jewish people, is that it was a Gilui of Or. So letter Reish Zayin is Or. It also equals Vigmachia Ein Saif. Reish Zayin is Ein Saif. And maybe more mysterious Gematria of all, we have to explain, Reish Zayin also equals Vigmachia Adayin Olam. Adayin Olam. It's known from the Vilna Gaon, that capital, that field that we say in the morning, Adayin Olam. The Vilna Gaon was very fond of it. The Vilna Gaon used to say it a lot of times throughout the day. He used to tell people, it's just an Eitzah, Mechazik, Yiras Hashem, and Avodas Hashem, to say Adayin Olam. So it's interesting, Reish Zayin equals Vigmachia Or, okay, Or, Raz, it's a secret. It's also the same letters as Zer, which means a crown. It's also the same letters as Zar, which means a foreigner, someone from the outside. It's interesting. A little paradoxical. And also, Igos Gematria Adayin Olam. Okay. So you have to figure all that out. You're not going to have to remember all the Akashas and Gematrias. You know. Hopefully I will. Leave it to the side. So Adar is the secret letter Kuf, Reish Zayin, with a lot of random Gematrias. Aleph. Beis. You know, when it comes to Purim, and you think about the story and the halachas that come from the story of Purim, there seems to be a little bit of a stira in terms of some of the themes, I guess, that run throughout the story of Purim. Mitzad Echad, on one hand, in the Inyan of Purim, we find a tremendous focus on chiddush, on things that are absolutely new, that are shocking, you would never have expected. Right? So everyone knows that the two words that sum up everything that's Adadik, everything that's Purim Dik, is V'nahapichu, right? And everything that was supposed to go one way, everything was leading towards one way, not supposed to, but it wasn't leading towards one way, you know, terrible, worse, all leading to dead end. And then all of a sudden, the Nahapichu, everything is flipped on its head. As we know, everyone knows the story of Purim, everything is upside down. Now if you think about it in a little bit of a deeper way, the Inyan of the Nahapichu means that when things are going in a normal way, you could sort of figure out the outcome. So when the outcome comes, you're not surprised. Right? You had one and one, so you know what the answer is going to be. It's going to be two. So when two comes, it's not a chiddush. It's not a chiddush, because you know, you saw it coming. You could have told from the beginning, I knew it was going to come. Once I saw one, I saw another one, I know it's going to be two. What's the inyan of an hapichu? The inyan of Purim is that it was one and a one, and turned out to four. Turned out to four. Because the whole inyan of an hapichu, the Purim, the ma'apecha, the inyan of Purim, that everything was going one way, and it turned out to come the opposite, it means it's coming from that place that's called Yesh Miayin, something from nothing, absolute Chiddush. So the one Yontif that is celebrating Chiddush, something that was absolutely unexpected, almost reminiscent of the greatest, most unexpected thing of all time, which is creation itself, right? The one thing that, the greatest Chiddush of all was the moment that the Rabbeinu Shlomo said, Yehi Or, right? Because before that, there was nothing to expect anything that was going to lead to Yihyar. And even after Hashem says Yihyar, and all of a sudden there's light, we still don't know how that happened. So it's Kulei Chiddush. So the one Yontif that's reflective a little bit of this Musig, of Yesh Miayin, of something absolutely from nowhere, Mamish, a Chiddush, is Purim. In fact, Chazal Darshan is a Pasuk, it says La'am Noilad, it talks about the Pasuk that there's going to be a people that will become a newborn people, the Rabbanu Shalom, that this La'am Noilad, but people that will be born will praise Hashem, will be given a Torah Chadasha. Chazal Darshan, La'am Noel, what's this newborn people? What's this new people? Chas v'shalom, not a new Jewish people. Chazal Darshan, that's referring to the times of Mordechai and Esther. That not only was the Yontif a Chiddush, Kulei Chiddush, but the people became completely Mechudush because of that. The people were renewed. Kal Yisrael were considered to be altogether different because of the experience of Purim. So Mitzad Echad, the meaning of Purim is Kulei Chiddush. Mitzad Sheni, the Nahapichu. There's another thing when it comes to Purim of nothing changing. Nothing changing. Right? Everyone knows. Even the big, how does Megillas Esther start? Right? You mean Achashverosh? Who's Achashverosh? Nah, he's old. It's an old news. Who Achashverosh? We know Achashverosh. He's an old timer. We know who he is already. Even the Megillah starts talking about something, and you might think it's new. It's not new at all. And how does the Megillah end? By talking about how that old Achashverosh had started off always thinking about money and trying to show his power and so on. Megillas Esther ends off with the same thing, which is that he's levying taxes on the world and he's just accumulating more money. Chazal famously say that one of the reasons why we don't say Hallel and so on, Akati Avid Achashverosh Anan, because what happened exactly throughout Purim? What chiddush was there in Purim? Nothing. We start off servants of Achashverosh. We had those servants of Achashverosh. We weren't killed. Okay, so shkoyach. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. Even in halacha, there's such a thing. You know, even one of the mitzvahs of Purim is mishloach manis l'shlareiyah, right? To send presents to another yid. And one of the basic reasons that Achareinim give for why it was instituted, the mitzvah of mishloach manis, is l'harbis reyes, is to increase friendship. So you would think that the best thing to do would be to create new friends. So every single year there should be halacha or something that you should dafka go to people that you never gave mishloach manis before to give it to them. But it's well known that Bach writes in his commentary to the Torah the opposite, mamash fakert, that the ikar mitzvah of mishloach manis is to send to people that you already know. That you already know. So mitzad echad Purim is kulei chiddush v'nahapichu l'am noil, we're considered to be a reborn people. Yet mitzad sheni, nothing's changed. Even the halachas of Purim dictate that one of the main mitzvahs of the day is to say Megillah Esther, right? To read the Megillah. The language, we know we do it twice, right? You read it at night, and then you do it the next morning. The language of the Gemara is, in Megillah Daf Dal, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Levi taught that there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah at night, and to repeat it the next day. That takes the air out of it. Why would you put it like that? Especially most Rishonim learn, Rabbi Natan, it's famous, that Rabbi Natan said that the Ikar mitzvah is really by the day. Yet Rabbi Shimon Levi describes it as, okay, you're just repeating it the next day. Repeating it, that's the Ikar mitzvah is the day. The night is secondary to the day. So the whole in the Purim, Rabbi Shimon Levi is describing it as just a chazara. It's a repeat. So somehow it must be the in of Purim is somehow chiddush within a context of no chiddush. And if you think about it, it's very much connected to the actual story of Purim. You might not notice this, but it was pointed out. I saw this a couple of years ago, and once I saw it, it's like, whoa, why, how did I not see this? You know, we tend to think that in the olden times when you had governments that were monarchies, you had a king, the king could do whatever he wants. So the king, if there's any person in a country that is the embodiment of chiddush, it's the king. He literally can do whatever he wants. But it's interesting. In the Megillah, evidently the government, the Persian government was set up is that there was a king. So you have to be, Achashverosh can do crazy stuff. But at the end of the day, there seems to be like a system of rules that even the king couldn't overcome. There were these gzeres, these dasei hamelech, these rules even for the monarch that he could not overcome. Like there were rules in place. There were rules in place. Talks about the letters that were sent out. Even Achashverosh couldn't undo. And throughout the whole story of Purim, what is Achashverosh trying to do constantly? And Mordechai and Esther and even Haman Lahavdil in his way, they're trying to manipulate the system in such a way to allow chedushim within the context of really nothing, no rules being broken, but breaking all the rules. So for example, like Vashti, Achashverosh is upset with Vashti. So Achashverosh wants to kill her. But the Mepharshim explained, but there was a rule, you can't just kill the queen. Even the king can't just kill the queen. So what Haman has to make a whole shtickle tire, that her not coming to you is basically it's going to cause civil unrest. Because every family, the wife is going to rebel against their husband, and the whole country is going to fall apart. So it's a shas ad chak. It's a, this is a time of great peril for the country. You have no, and part of the rules is that if it's a time of great peril, the king can do what he needs to do. It's like a time of war. Let the king just do whatever he wants. The answer is no. Even Achashverosh is going to do it. But he's using the system to do what he wants, to make chedushim, within the context of nothing new. So this seems to be touching the site of Purim, which is like it's something chiddush, but at the same time, nothing's changing. So what is it? What's going on up here? It's like the costumes of Purim, In the original minig of costumes, the way it's brought down by the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, is that it wasn't just to have a costume of Purim; it's to constantly change your costume. First you're a cowboy, then you're a policeman. That's to constantly change. So who are you? So there's a part of you that's constantly changing, but on the other hand, there's something that always is staying the same. So this seems to be a nekudah of Purim. The truth is, not only is this something that's essential to Purim of chiddush, but no chiddush at all, Gula itself, which Purim is a gateway into, is also connected to this idea of absolutely new, and at the same time, not new at all. It's well known, it's machlekes in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, different places, there's different nafkaminis to it. Shmuel said, "Ein bein olam hazeh l'maaseh Mashiach ela shibud malchus bilvad." The only difference between our world and the world of Yemos Mashiach, not much difference. The only difference is shibud malchus. The Goyim won't be on top of us. We'll be able to do what we want to do. The world will know the truth, but nothing really different than that. You know, in Maseches Megillah, one of the themes of a lot of Mishnayos, so there's Ein Bein. Things that seem different. Mishnah says, it's not really so different. One small difference is not really such a big deal. You know, small differences, not earth shattering. Ein Bein El Mazim Es Mashiach El Shiv Malchis Buvan. Mitzad Sheni. The other opinion, Rav, on the other hand, says, no, what are you talking about? Mashiach is Ayin Loiras Elokim Zalasecha. It's going to be so different and so new that only God's eyes can see it, have seen it. No one can imagine what's going to be. So it's Machlokes in the Gemara, but you know, it's the Rambam Paskins like both. Rambam in some places tells us that there's no difference between now and Yoyis Mashiach, just Shiva Malchias. In other places, the Rambam says, nah, Yoyis Mashiach is Ayin Loiras, which one is it? It's Kulei Chiddush, completely new, and at the same time, absolutely not new. It's Borumdik. That's where Rabbi Nachman writes in the Kutim Aran. He writes that throughout all of history, beginnings were always Pesach. Right? Chodesh Elochem, Nisan is the beginning. But he said, but before Mashiach comes, the beginning is going to be ... Doesn't end off the maimer. So the Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim in Breslov, Rav Nassim himself said this, that what Rabbi Nachman then said, it wasn't recorded for whatever reason, is that the beginnings is going to be Purim. That's going to be the new beginning before Mashiach comes. Because the way to understand Mashiach and to enter into that place of Gula is by understanding the concept of there being Kulei Chiddush, and at the same time no Chiddush at all. So that's base. We have to understand that as well. So you have the Reish Zion, all those Gemashias. They have this inning of Purim, Chiddush and not Chiddush. Mashiach is Chiddush and not Chiddush. What does that mean? Okay, one final thing, okay? And then we'll go in. Chazal say about Purim, everyone, it's a well-known idea that Hadar Kiblu v'Me'achashverish, that one of the major, in Pnimius, one of the deepest qualities of Purim is not only the fact that we survived Haman. That's a Gevaldik thing too. But there's a certain element of celebration on Purim, which is the fact that it was the completion of Har Sinai. It's well known by our sealer, Baruch Hashem gives us a Torah. But we know, we said Nasa Dinishma, but there was a part of us that was still held back. There was a part of us that needed to be forced. Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis. It was held, the mountain was held over our heads. And ever since then, we have to understand that Chazal doesn't just mean there was a part of us that was being held back. If there's a part of the Jewish people that are reticent of receiving the Torah, means there's a part of Torah that's not coming. It's a shidduch. If the Kala is not interested, it means the Chassan is not interested to a certain degree as well. And so, us not receiving the Torah completely means that we haven't fully really received the Torah. And so now, says the Gemara, famously, when it comes to Purim, and because of the Ahavas HaNeis, because of the experience of Purim, the Jewish people fully accepted the Torah. This doesn't just mean that on our side of things we accepted it, and there's no part of us that's being held back. It means now the Torah in its truest sense can be given to us. The completion of Har Sinai is in fact in Torah, is in fact on Purim. So in a certain sense, to really appreciate Purim and to go deeper into Purim, we have to see it in the context of the Gemar, the Shlemus, the completion of Har Sinai. Now, what was Har Sinai? Har Sinai also was not just, you know, a moment in time isolated. Har Sinai was also not just the you know, where after Yetzias Mitzrayim we got to Har Sinai 50 days later. That was also what took us out of Mitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu stands by the burning bush, and he's sort of questioning, like, you know, there's Yidden over there in the 49th level of impurity. How am I going to get them out? What is driving Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the force that's compelling Yetzias Mitzrayim? So what does Rabbi Hashem say? Tavdu Neselokim Alohar Azeh, Har Sinai. Har Sinai is not only something that was the destination from Mitzrayim, but Har Sinai was also what was pulling us out of Mitzrayim. In this context, if Har Sinai is ultimately not just the destination of Yitzhak, it's also bringing us out of Mitzrayim. And Purim is the completion of Har Sinai. It means to truly understand, it means that in the deepest of senses, it's really Purim that was taking us out of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that was taking us out of Mitzrayim. And that's what Rabbi Nachman says, that before Mashiach comes, it's going to be revealed that the beginning of all beginnings was not Pesach. The beginning really was Purim. Because Purim means the completion of Har Sinai, and Har Sinai is really what was schlepping us out of Mitzrayim. Tavdu Nesalakim El Har Hazeh. So therefore, in order to truly appreciate Purim, we have to appreciate Har Sinai. And really, to appreciate Har Sinai, we have to appreciate what Yetzias Mitzrayim was. I know I'm throwing a lot out there, but like I said, this is a Farbrengen. I don't know when I'm going to be invited back. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta cover everything right now. So you have to talk about Purim and Pesach and Shavuos. You have to cover it all. Okay. Let me explain, and then everything Bez Hashem will be tied together. You'll understand, hopefully. The end of Parsha Shemais. Let's go to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim, again, behind the scenes of Yetzias Mitzrayim is Har Sinai. And behind the scenes of Har Sinai is Purim. So Yetzias Mitzrayim, how does it work? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Klal Yisrael in Parsha Shemais, Yidden, let's go. So Klal Yisrael is excited, we're going to get out of Zgavav. What happens? Parah hears about it, make it worse. Stop wasting time with Narishkeit. And so what happens? The Yidden fall into a depression, they become angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. What are you doing? You're causing us to have more lachats and more difficulty. What are you doing to us? And Moshe Rabbeinu is also upset. He goes to Ribbono Shel Olam, ever since I went there, it got even worse. And so what happens? So the beginning of Parashat Va'era, Moshe Rabbeinu was then sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam, go back. Go back and tell them that it's time to come, time to go out. Don't listen to Parah. Don't worry about the extra avodah. Go out. What does it say? V'loshomol Moshe. They didn't hear at this point. First they were excited. Then they were angry at Moshe, at the disappointment when they saw it wasn't happening, and now, completely apathetic, they were completely, they could not hear Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't make a reishim at all. So everything's rock bottom. Then the Pasuk says, the Rabbeinu Shem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you have to now begin the process of the Makkos, you have to begin the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim in earnest. And it says in Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, "Vayitzave mel b'nei Yisrael, go command the Jewish people something, and tell Parah to take the Jewish to let the Jewish people go. And if not, there's going to be dam tzardeya." But the Pasuk says something mysterious that Moshe Rabbeinu is being sent by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to tell the Jewish people something. Doesn't say what. Doesn't say what. "Vayitzave mel b'nei Yisrael." Says Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that in order for Yetzias Mitzrayim to take place, which again is coming from Har Sinai, which again is coming from Purim, in order for Klal Yisrael to come out of Mitzrayim, in order for the Makkos to begin, in order to get that wheel going, you have to reveal to them one mitzvah. And this mitzvah is going to contain everything we're talking about. And that is the mitzvah of Yovel. Mitzvah of Yovel. Yerushalmi says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam, go tell the Jewish people that there's such a thing called an Eved Ivri. There's such a thing called a Jewish slave. And a Jewish slave, the halach is in Parshas Mishpatim, that the Jewish slave is allowed free after 7 years. But if the Jewish slave says, Ahavti es Adoini, Esishli ves Bonai, I love my master, I'm happy to be his slave. So it says in Pasuk, Avodi L'Olam, then we drill his ear, and he's now a slave forever. Comes Tarsh Baal Peh, and Tarsh Baal Peh says, Avodi L'Olam, it says he's a slave forever in Chumash. Tarsh Baal Peh says, it means Olam Mishal Yoivel. It means that he could be a slave again. He could give in to that, but it's only until Yovel. Yovel comes, he's leaving. It says the Yerushalmi, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, tell the Jewish people that secret of Yovel. What's going on? So the Rogat Shavar. The Rogat Shavar says the reason why this mitzvah needed to be told to them is because in Pnimius, what they were experiencing was this sugya. They were first told by Moshe Rabbeinu, you're all avadim, you're yidden, but you're slaves. Go free. The door's open. It's the seventh year. And they first got excited. They were getting up. What happens? Parah comes and makes it worse, puts benias. And what happens? Eventually, the Jewish people, they don't hear Moshe Rabbeinu. And said the Rogat Shavar, when the Jewish people just didn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu, what they really were saying is, Ahavti es Adai ni Yisishi es Bonai. Okay, no, we're here. We're Mitzrayim, done. Not interested in leaving. Said the Rogat Shavar, therefore, the only way to take an Eved Ivri out of Avdus, even after he says, I'm happy to be a slave, is only Yovel. And said the Rogat Shavar, and that's the secret, that's the mystery of Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the Makkos, is really just a physical manifestation of this side, of this secret that's called Yovel. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the secret of Yovel. This is why, you know, it's interesting, in all of Chumash, how many times does it say, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim in all of Chumash? It says it 50 times. It's Yovel. Yovel is the 50th year. 50 times. As I said, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, you're going out of Mitzrayim, Tavdunus Elokim Al Arzeh, because of Har Sinai. What does it say by Har Sinai? Har Sinai, first of all, how many days did it take for them to get to Har Sinai from Yitzhak Mitzrayim? It's 50 days, right? After Sfiras Omri, you get to Har Sinai. It's the 50th day. It's Yovel. It says in Pasuk regarding Har Sinai, B'mshoich HaYovel, Heima Yal Bahar, that the shofar of Har Sinai is described as the shofar of Yovel. So Pesach is Yovel. It's being driven, being compelled by the Yovel of Har Sinai. And that's exactly behind the scenes of what Purim is as well. Purim is the secret of Yovel. What do I mean, Purim is the secret of Yovel? So it says in Megillah Esther, everyone knows that, you know, after Ahasuerus gives Haman, gives Mordechai and Esther the rishus to take care of our enemies. So it says that Haman was hanged, and the Seres ben Haman were killed. And Esther Malkus says, one last request, I want all the 10 sons of Haman hanged on that eights. How to, in other words, they were already killed. So it means in Esther Malkus' mind, the hanging of Haman and his 10 sons, those 11 Rishayim on that eights, Gavoya Chamisha Mama, 50 Amas high, that was the embodiment, that was the physical manifestation of the pnimius of what Purim is. And that's the eights, Gavoya Chamisha Mama, the tree that was the pole that was 50 Amas high, that's the secret of Yovel. That's the eleven sons. That's why there's 11 Ein Beins in Megillah says in Sechs Megillah. 11 times Ein Bein this, Ein Bein that. So Yitzis Mitzrayim is Yovel. Har Sinai is Yovel, and that's what Purim is Yovel. Okay, so now we have one final thing to figure out, and then everything is taken care of. What's Yovel? Okay, see you guys in yeshiva. So I'll share with you a Torah. Okay, but it's a short one. Don't worry. It's not so hard. I don't know about that. Okay, we'll see. You'll tell me. What's the halach of Yovel? So I mentioned one example of Yovel is, one halach of Yovel is, that the Eved Ivri goes free. Even after he wants to stay, and it says in Pasuk Avad Lo'ilam, he goes free after Yovel. He goes free after Yovel. There's another halach of Yovel, which is that karka, land, also goes back to its original owner. So you have Reuven and Shimon, yeah? Reuven has a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael, he sells it to Shimon. The halach is, it's a sale, 100%, if anyone takes the land, he's a ganav. Comes Yovel, the land goes back to Reuven. That's the halacha. Chazor HaKarkoyis, the land goes back to the original owner on Yovel. There's an interesting halacha. The halacha is, Gemara says in Bav Metzia, that the only type of sale that Yovel undoes is a sale that was la'olam, a sale that was forever. If Reuven sells his field to Shimon forever, no strings attached, it's your field finished, that's a type of sale that Yovel undoes. But if, let's say, Reuven sells his field to Shimon for 1,000 years, but 1,001 years, the sale is over, Yovel can't affect it. The only type of sale that Yovel can affect is a sale that would be, that's a forever dika sale. So the Achronim may ask an interesting question. If the only type of sale Yovel can affect is a sale that's forever, but then once Yovel comes, Yovel makes it not forever. Once it's not forever, Yovel can't affect it anymore. Yovel undoes itself. How could Yovel ever affect the sale? It starts off as a sale forever, but once then you open the Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, but now Yovel comes and says it's not forever. Now it's a non-forever sale. If it's a non-forever sale, then Yovel can't affect it. Well, then it goes back to a forever sale. And then Yovel comes, but then Yovel goes away. It's a circle. Yovel undoes itself. How does Yovel work? How does Yovel work? Okay. So let me begin to answer. And this is the site of Yovel. In the Sumer HaKadosh, we find the following idea. In the Zohar HaKadosh, this is a big yisoid in Chabad Chassidus. You mentioned the Baal Tanya before. This is a big klal in Chabad Chassidus. There are two levels to reality. There are two perceptions to reality. There's two ways to look at things. There's something that's called Yichudi Ilah, the higher unity. And there's something that's called Yichud HaTata, the lower unity. There's a perception of reality, there's a gaze, there's a point of view of creation, of experience, that's called Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And there's a perspective of reality which is called Baruch Shem Kvay Malchus Elohim Vod. Yichud Yilah, the higher unity, a perspective of Shema Yisrael, means seeing things from the way God sees them. And you know, there's a language, there's a lashon that we find in the beginning of davening. We say this by Karbonis. It says, "Atuhu ad shalei nivra olam, atuhu mishenivra olam." Rabbanu Shleilam, you are the same God as you were before creation. You're the same way as you are after creation. What was filling all of reality before creation? What was here? Before creation, what was here was Ar Ein Sof, the infinite light of God. That's all there was. It was just Him. And what we say in davening, Atuhu Ad Shalei Nivra Olam, God, the same way you fill all things before creation, Atuhu Mishenivra Olam, that's exactly what it is right now. In other words, there is a way, there is a perception of reality, there is a madrega of looking at things, which is called by the Sonar Kedosh and Mit Tzidoy, from the way God sees things, His vantage point, His perspective, which is Ein Sof. Everything is still within the same space as it always was, within God's world, within His space. Hu Mekayim Shalom. That's called Shema Yisrael HaShogeg HaShem Echad. When we say Shema twice a day, it means that we're proclaiming this truth, which is, the Ribbono Shalom is everywhere. There is nothing outside of Him. There is nothing that's not Him, Kiviyachal. All there is Metzias Lakus. All there is Ein Sof. But then what happens? You open your eyes after Kriya Shema, after Shema Yisrael, then you open your eyes and you see a shtender and a table and a chair and a guy making it crazy and all this stuff that goes on in the world. And then you say, that's a truth, that's a reality, I don't see that. That's not my experience in this world. My experience in this world is that there's such a thing as Reuven's field and there's such a thing as Shimon's field. And I experience in this world that there's such a thing as oxygen molecules and there's such a thing as carbon molecules, I think, right? Like that, yeah? Fine. It's been a while. So it's such a thing. No. So what happens? So then you have to proclaim, Rabbanu Shloilam, I don't know. Baruch Shem, Kvoy Mechus Olam Vod, you're at least the Melech. That much I can say. There is a world with all different Pratim, all different Inyanim, but at least there's a Melech. That I know. So you have these two things. It's called Yichud Eilah, the higher unity. In that place, Ein Oid Melvada, there is nothing but God. And in that place, all there is Ein Sof. Nothing's really changed from before creation to after creation. Everything is just a ray of light in the sun itself. And then you have another perspective, which is you open your eyes and there's a lot of different inyanim. Now, the secret of Emunah is not to believe in Yichud Eilah. To believe in the higher unity that everything, nothing changed, you don't need faith for that. You don't need faith for that. Where did God go when He wanted to create the world? Where did He get the material from? Went to Home Depot? Went to Lowe's? Where did He go? There's no Home Depot, there's no Lowe's. So where did He go? From within Himself. That was the only material that was there. So what does that tell you about the material now that we see it? It's still part of Him. Yichud Eilah is not a chiddush. And Yichud Etato, lower unit, is also not a chiddush. I see chairs, I see spike, I see water, I see cookies, I see guys. And I believe that there's a creator. That's not a chiddush either. You don't have emunah for that. You know what emunah is? And understand this well. Emunah means to believe that even with Yehuda Tata, 100%, and Yehuda Ilah still exists. When you usually have a steer, when you have a contradiction between two ideas, the answer usually is something's got to give. Either this side is not 100%, or this side's not 100%. Something's got to give. The chiddush of emunah is, there's 100% Yichud Eilah. It's 100% Hashem Echad. And it's 100% there's a table and chairs in front of us. And nothing is budging. Neither is budging. But they both still exist. They both still interact with each other. And here's the amazing thing. When there are moments, there are times when that truth of Yichud Eilah makes its way into our world, we are at the same time, Yichud Tata is still functioning, it's still happening, there's still table and chairs, but at the same time, there's a presence beneath the surface. There's something else. There's something else. That's the secret of Yovel. How does Yovel work? If it was a Mechir Salim, if Reuven sold his field forever, Yovel comes and says it wasn't forever, so then Yovel doesn't work anymore. The answer is, there's Yichud Tata, lower unity. Lower unity is, it's Reuven's field, and he sold to Shimon, it was forever. What's the secret of Yovel? The secret of Yovel is that it's taka true with Reuven's field and it's taka true with Shimon's field. But you know what's beneath the surface of both Reuven and Shimon? What's beneath the surface of both Reuven and Shimon is Hashem Echad. And the secret of Yovel is that although you're living in a space that's called Yichudat HaTorah, lower unity, where Reuven sold his field to Shimon 100%, and that's not changing in the world of Yichudat HaTorah. But the secret of Yovel is that even while you're existing in Yichudat HaTorah, you are able, and you are able to be conscious and to experience the ripple effect of the of the reality of Yehuda Elah beneath the surface. You won't be able to see it, you won't be able to explain it, but you'll see its effect. You'll see its effect, and you could be margish its effect. That you could be living in a universe where there's Reuven and Shimon, and there's tables and chairs, and there's good and there's evil, and there's good days and bad days, and ups and downs. But at the same time, nothing's ever changed. And there's a part of the neshama that's sensitive to this. And that's called Yovel. Let's understand, why is it that Yovel is what's driving Yitzias Mitzrayim? Why is it that that Eved only can go free because of Yovel? You know why? Because after 7 years, the door opens. And the guy is in Galus, he's an Eved, and he's being given the opportunity to go to a new place. He's going to a new place. Go to Geula. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to Yerushalayim. Go into Geula. So if he takes the opportunity, it's Gevaldik. But let's say he does, and let's say he's so Shakua, he's so submerged in his place of Gullus, that the very idea of moving from his place, he can't fathom. So you know what comes Yovel and says? Gesundheit, stay where you are. But do you know what is underneath where you are? Do you know what's underneath your feet? You think you're standing in Goldstein's house. What's underneath Goldstein's house? What's underneath Goldstein's house is an infinite light of God that permeates and pulsates everything, that encompasses everything. The secret of Yovel is, and this is what gives a Jew the ability to get out of any place that they're stuck in, by realizing that where you are is saturated with God's presence to such a degree that the very idea of having to go anywhere else to find God is a ridiculous notion. This is the secret of Yovel. Yovel says that even where you are, so Klal Yisrael are stuck in Mitzrayim, and the very idea, they cannot fathom leaving Mitzrayim. So what does the Rabbi Shalom say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Reveal to him the secret of Yovel. Because you know what Yovel is? You're in Mitzrayim. Gesundheit. But who do you think Paray is? What do you think Mitzrayim is? What do you think the airspace over there is? Kani Havaya b'Kerav Haaretz. It's all Elokus. It's all Ein Tzayf. Experience. Try to tap into Yichudi Ilah that's beneath the surface of Yichudi Tata. This is the ultimate oimik. This is the pnimius of what Har Sinai was. What was Har Sinai? The Chiddush of, just to go quickly, the Chiddush of Har Sinai was the Rabbanu Shalom saying, Anoichi Hashem Alakecha, I am Hashem your God. And you know, Chazal say about Har Sinai, it didn't create any echoes. That booming voice of God didn't make any echoes. Why? What does an echo mean? An echo means I send out a voice and there's a wall. And my voice hits the wall, because the wall is not my voice, and it bounces back. There was no echoes by Har Sinai. You know why? Because the revelation of Har Sinai was, Anoichi Havaya Alakecha means that everything was, there was a revelation of Yichud Ilah to that point. And Yichud Ilah means there's walls, there's mountains, there's butterflies, there's frogs and cats and all that stuff. But it doesn't make an echo because behind the scenes within it, reverberating within it, is an unchanging truth since the beginning of time, which is Anoichi Havaya Alakecha. And that gives a Jew the ability to move. It gives a Jew the confidence to actually move from where they are because you're not stuck. But wherever you go, you're ultimately in the same place. That's the secret of Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu said about Har Sinai, At Reis L'das, Ki Havayu L'kim, Ein Oy Milvad, there's nothing but God. That's what Har Sinai was. The Torah was given in that context. This is what was compelling, this is what was driving Yitzias Mitzrayim, who was taking us out of that place. And this is exactly what Purim is. Purim is this on steroids. The whole meaning of Purim is what? Is that Teva itself, nature itself, everything that's Yichudat HaTorah, everything that's Reuven and Shimon selling land to each other, Achashverosh and Vashti, it's all what? It was pulsating. It was pulsating with divine presence from the very beginning. Not that the Rebbeinu Shalom came as a knight in shining armor saving the day. The very Averis of the Jewish people themselves were pulsating with God's presence. Nothing, the very beginning of time where everything was God was revealed to always still be there. And you can have Averis and you can have a Vashti, you can have all sorts of inyanim of Jewish people by the Suda Vachashverosh and bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, and that's all true in Yichud HaTorah, but it doesn't change anything in Yichud HaIlah. The whole secret of Purim is Chiddush, things are new. Chiddush means it's Reuven and he sold his field to Shimon. That's a Chiddush. Yichud HaTorah means there's a bottle of Sprite There's a Baal Kol. Those are two separate things. There's a guy standing up, a guy sitting down. There's a good, there's a bad. There's a Vashti, there's an Esther. That's all Chedushin. But the secret of Purim is, that's all true, but you should know it's also true that nothing's changed. And we can't wrap our heads around it. That's not the job of a Jew. The job of a Jew is not to understand how it works. The job of a Jew is to figure out how does that change my Avoida? How is my Avoida different by knowing that these two realities of Yichud HaTato and Yichud HaIloh both exist simultaneously with each other, within each other? How? L'may nafkamina. The question is, how does that change my Avoida? And what it does to my Avoida is that no matter what's going on in my life, and as stuck as I might think I am, there's no such, where am I stuck? As opposed to being somewhere else, where do you think you are? Wherever you are, we're included in Ein Sof. This is the secret, of the letter Kuf. The letter Kuf is a combination, as I said, of what? Of Resh Zayin. The letter Zayin is that leg that goes down, 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 down. That's called Yichud HaTato. It goes into that lower place, that place of Reuven selling his field to Shimon. And in that lower place of Reuven selling his field to Shimon, it was lechalutin. It was 100% sale. It's not budging. It's not moving at all. But then there's a hovering resh. And the hovering resh means that at the same time Reuven sold his field to Shimon, and there was a change in the field from Reuven to Shimon, at the same time, nothing's changed because it wasn't Reuven's to begin with. It's not Shimon's now. It's all the Rabbeinu Shloimes. Anoich Hashem Alekecha. That's the Resh and the Zayin. This is Soid. This is the Ruz. This is the secret. The secret of Yiddishkeit is this Nakuda of there being a Resh and the Resh is not changing. And there being a Zayin and the Zayin is not changing. The question is, how does that affect my Avoida? And to that degree, even a Zar, even someone that's foreign, where is that crown of Elikus? Where is that crown, that Zer, that crown? Because the Resh Zayin, the letter Kuf, this secret of the letter Kuf means Ein Sof. It means at the same time, the Rabbanu Shalom is Ein Sof, and it's still Ein Sof. It's still infinite, like nothing's changed. And that same Reish Zayin equals Machi Adayin Oilam. Adayin Oilam means Baruch Shem Kvayim Mechus Alam Avod. Adayin Oilam means Yichud HaTato. It means there's an Oilam. There is a world with all different things going on in there. There's an Adayin Oilam. There's a master of the world. There's a master of the world. But the same Reish Zayin equals Machi Ein Sof. Nothing's changed. Yichud HaIloh and Adayin Oilam Yichud HaTato. This is the chiddush, this is the secret of Purim, the secret of Purim. This is why, you know, even the kapitel of Adayin Oilam, very quickly, it's really late, wow, okay. So, very quickly. The secret of Adayin Oilam, the kapitel that the Vilna Gaon was so taken by. I tell the guys in the shul, I remind them of this, it's one of the most powerful kapitel, if you really allow it. Adayin Oilam is two parts. And the two parts of Adayin Oilam sum all of this up. The first part of Adayin Oilam is talking about Yichud HaIloh. Adayin Oilam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. The Rebbe Hashem, you were king before there was such a musig of a malchus. You're one. Echad Ve'ein Sheini. No one can be compared to you. Haya, Haya Ve'hiya. Atu Atchel Nivra Oilam, Atu Mish Nivra Oilam. You were there before creation, you're there now. Nothing's changed. And then what's the second part? That same God that's unchanging, that's always present, that's mamish underneath Reuven and Shimon's fields, who Kaili, he's my God, with all of my nuances, and all of my idiosyncrasies, and all of my narish guiding, and all of my shtus men avolam, the Rebbeinu Shem was my God. Who Chai Goyali, he's the life, he's the redemption of my life. And Chai means changing. Sur Chedli based Sarah, he's the rock that I hold on to, the rope that I hold on to when I'm having a hard time. What a hard time? Nothing's changed. God is infinite. The answer is, that's Yichud HaIloh, but there's such thing as Yichud HaTato. And this is the secret of Purim. The secret of Purim is a Jew to be besimcha where you are. And because wherever you are, the ground what's underneath the ground under your feet is Ein Sof. That's the secret of Purim. And this is the Avoda, by the way. Just to end off very quickly, this is the avoid of a person engaging and learning on their level to be Isaac a little bit in Pnimiyas Satara. I was told that, you know, guys, we are comfortable talking about this, you know. Each one to their own Madrega, on their own Madrega. You know, it says in Pasuk, you made Seischa, Meretz, Mitzrayim, Ren, and Neflois. That we left Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Shem says, just like you left Mitzrayim, that's how you're going to leave Golas. Golas is going to be in such a way, the same mechanism that was in place that got you out of Mitzrayim, that's the mechanism that's going to be in place to get you out of Golas, this Golas. So let me ask you something. So why didn't it work the first time? If it's the same Indian that's repeating itself from Yitzias and Sarim, it didn't work by Yitzias and Sarim to give us a Gula Shleim, what's going to be the difference now? So the answer is, the reason why Yitzias and Sarim wasn't a Gula Shleim is because the Rabbanu Shalom did it for us. It was all this stuff was happening from the Rabbanu Shalom's side. He was the one that introduced us to Yehuda Ilah while we were living in Yehuda Tata. He was the one that introduced us to this idea that while you're in Mitzrayim and you feel like you can't get out of Mitzrayim, dig deeper within Mitzrayim and you'll see that you're not in Mitzrayim anyway. And there's no difference between Mitzrayim and Yerushalayim. And then when you have that truth, then you can start moving, you can start going. You're not weighed down by the sense, by the place that you're in. Because the place that you're in is only a surface. That happened to us, and because of that, it didn't have a kiyum ultimately forever. But our avoda to bring Geula, to bring Mashiach, is to connect to this inyan of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is Har Sinai, of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, the truth of Yichud Ilah reverberating throughout all universes, despite the fact that there's Yichud Tata that it has to face, that it has to deal with. The secret of Purim, of everything changing, at the same time staying the same, of the Rebbe Shalom's presence, even his consistent presence, even in the face of all the chalukim and all the shinoim and the chudat tata, our avodah to bring Mashiach is to bring that upon ourselves. Not to wait for the Rebbe Shalom to do it, but to bring it upon ourselves. How does one do that? Any level of Pnimis HaTorah that a person engages in is this inyan. All of Pnimis HaTorah is about this. Nicholas HaTorah is telling you how to navigate Yehudat tata. How do you navigate Reuven selling his field to Shimon? Pnimi Satara says, that's all true. But you should know, underneath Reuven and underneath Shimon is Ein Sof. That's what Pnimi Satara is about. That's all that it's about. It's the sug of Ein Sof. It's Ruz. Ruz is secret. Secret equals Begmachi Ein Sof. And it doesn't take over Yehudat Tata. It doesn't take away Reuven and Shimon. It gives you a deeper context of who Reuven is and who Shimon is. And at that point, when Mashiach comes, is going to be an ability, ultimately, to make shalom between these two universes. We might not ever understand it, but when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to make peace with it. And we'll be able to live a universe of Yehudat Tata, and at the same time, be completely all in to Yehudat Ilah. Now that's a mystery. We might not know what that looks like. But our avodah before Mashiach comes is to make space for that. And the way to make space for that is to navigate properly in Yehudat Tata. Negla, Halacha, Shas, Shulchan Aruch, Bav, Yishami, everything you guys are doing. And at the same time, to make space within the Nefesh for Yehudi Ilah, for the heart unity, saying Shema Yisrael, and closing your eyes and realizing that behind all these changes and all these differences and the different shades of Yehudi Tata, behind all that is a unity that has not changed since the beginning of time. And that's called Ein Sof. When we make space in our nefesh for those two things, and we can somehow navigate that, without trying to explain how, but to figure out how does that change my avoda? How is my life going to look? How would life look if a Jew believed that with the truth of Yehudat Tata, beneath all of that is Yehudat Ilah? How would that change the davening? How would that change his mitzvahs? How would that change his way of dealing with ups and downs? I want to mimic that. Don't try to figure out how when what's pshat. Save that for someone else. The question is avoda. And when you make space in that, when you bring yovel into your own life, the shar hanun, you bring that truth of Yehudat Ilah into the world of Yehudat Tata to the best of your abilities, that means you're making prayer, that means you're bringing Har Sinai, it means you're bringing a gula for yourself. This was long, I'm sorry, and complicated. I didn't realize how complicated it was. I'm sorry. But let me hand over the mice. Worst case scenario, you come away with a story, yeah? Okay, fine. I'll tell you mice. You've heard of Chayzer Bublin. Chayzer Bublin. So the mice is that there was a year that once came to the Chayzer Bublin. He wanted to spend a Shabbos there and a weekend, the whole thing. He was not a chassid in particular, but Chayzer. So he went to the Chayzer. And he spent Shabbos there. He was in his spol. It was Taka Pel, the good thing, what he saw. But then he stayed there on Matzah Shabbos and Sunday, and he saw something the Chayzer was doing that really bothered him very, very much. He saw that during Shemoneh Esrei, not on Shabbos, but during Shemoneh Esrei, Matzah Shabbos or Sunday, whatever, the Chayzer during Shemoneh Esrei took out his pipe and started like pouring tobacco in it and patting it down, doing the whole thing with his pipe during Shemoneh Esrei. Now, don't know why this yid is noticing that during Ishmaes, right? What happens sometimes, he sees this and it mamash bothers him. Mamash bothers him like that. This, that's not the during Ishmaes, he's dealing with that. So he says, you know what, I have to go over there. I'm going to talk to him about it. So he goes to the chayza. He says, Rebbe, what can I tell you? What were you doing during Ishmaes? You playing with your pipe? So the chayza says, listen, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a mashal to explain what I was doing. So the mashal is like this. He said there was once a king. This king was very into music. And he had an orchestra that he hired professional people. Wherever he went, his orchestra went. He was very into music. So one time the king is walking down the street. He's taking a tour of the city, blah, 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 and, you know, with his chavra. And he goes and he sees and he hears that there's someone playing music. Okay, so he wants to go see. He's always interested in music. So he goes and he sees it's like a beggar. One of the side streets. And he has this guitar. It's, you know, off tune and, you know, broken and all that stuff. He's playing for pennies, you know. And then the king is sitting there and he's mamish like taken by this. And the generals in the office are like, wow, what's going on here? Like, yeah, the king does what he wants. So the king's watching this. And after the thing is over, the king turns to his chaver and he says, I want this guy in my orchestra. He has to be in the orchestra. Okay, right. Doesn't make any sense. Fine, kach. So they take him to the orchestra. They bring him there, and the conductor meets him for the first time. This guy can't play. Mamash can't play. He's terrible. He's going to ruin the whole thing. What are you supposed to do? The king says, what are you supposed to do? So he's part of the orchestra now. And they come there, and the king comes for the first performance, and the whole thing is being thrown off by this guy. The king is there. He's mamash, he's nachas. He's mamash excited. Okay? No one makes sense of this. But at some point, everyone just gets used to it. You know, it's one of those things, you know. Yeah, you have this sometimes, you know, let's say there's, you know, someone that, you know, when there's like Nugur or something, not a Vigir Chas V'Shalom, it's like one guy that's like off, so the first, you know, but now like the whole Zman you have him, you know, you're like stuck. So like the first couple Shal Shudduses, it's like hard, at some point you get used to it, you know, it's just, that's part of the deal. So fine, they got used to it. But one day, the conductor goes over to this beggar and he says, listen, mainly you're part of the orchestra, it's the king, okay, it is what it is. But the guitar that you're playing is mamish. It's off key. It's off tune. It's broken. You got to upgrade to it. We'll pay for it. But you got to stop using this. It's throwing everyone off. So the beggar says, like, listen, I'll tell you the truth. I have no idea why I'm here. This doesn't make any sense to me. I'm nobody. I can barely play. I know. The king is a mishagas. He puts me in the organ. I have no idea. But if the king chose me, it means he chose me with my mishagas. My mishagas is this is my guitar. That's it. The whole thing doesn't make sense why I'm here, but if I'm here, I'm here with my guitar. So the chayza says to the yid, listen, I'm a beggar, I'm a nobody. Why in the world am I in the mizrachvant? You know what I'm saying? Why am I the rebbe over here? It's a mishagas. I have no idea. The king chose my face. But if he chose me, I come with my mishagas. And what my mishagas is, I have a cigar, I have a pipe to reach my ass. Now obviously, chayza, you know, there's inyanim going on. That's Purim, you know what I'm saying? There's Yichud Ilah, there's Inyanim, and you have Yichud Tato, your Mishagasim. The Chiddush of Purim is, you come with your Mishagasim. You come with Mishagasim. What does that mean? Okay. It's a Kasha. But it's a Kasha. Yeah. The whole thing is a Kasha. Why were you chosen to begin with? I don't know. If I'm here anyway, I come with my Mishagasim. We all have our Mishagasim. We all have our, you know, pipes that we play with during Shemoneh Esrei. You can still daven Shemoneh Esrei. You can still daven Shemoneh Esrei. Yichud Tato might say, that's not a Shemoneh Esrei. But then you go to Yichud Ilah, and Yichud Ilah says, well, it's a nafka min my Shemoneh. The whole thing is a lukus anyway. The whole thing, it's above my pay grade. Everything's above my pay grade. So once everything's above my pay grade, well, we think we know what a Baruch Shomer is. We know what a Yishtab, but we have no idea what anything is. So, okay. Might as well do it anyway. It's not like certain things I'm going to do well. I'll do anything well anyways. I might as well do everything. The Rebbe Shlomo should bless each and every one of us. In fact, we should come into these months of Gula, we will kasher ourselves to Pnimistika Avayda, Pnimistika learning, Pnimistika Yiddishkeit, Pnimistika Avas Yisrael, to look at each other with Yichudi Yiladika lenses, Shri Zaycha, Bepecha, Belevecha, each and every one of us to be able to come to that time where we'll be heard, resonate, strong, Shema Yisrael, Shalom Kinesh HaMechad, and Baruch Shem Kol Nuchas L'Navod, Yichudi Yilad, with Yichudi Tatav, Yisgol Tzedek, Mir V'meinu, Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Lightman, what?